Dispatches of Disassociation, a collection of correspondences in a time of quarantine. In the late winter, early spring of the year 2020, the world was struck with a virus it couldn't cure and didn't understand. Coronavirus, or COVID-19, was an illness that spread primarily through droplets in the air. It was found to be extremely contagious, and in some cases, a death sentence. It was widely believed it would be confined to its country of origin, and wouldn't reach the shores of the United States. That, unfortunately, was wishful thinking. Day-to-day life for normal, everyday Americans would soon be altered, perhaps never to be the same again. By early March, the first inklings of a larger problem had become apparent, but the talks of self-isolation and distancing were only in their infancy. This separated many young lovers just as the early blossoms of affection were emerging. Bonnie Campbell, a 30-something freelance food photographer from Austin, Texas, had just gotten out of a 7-year relationship, which ended when her long-term boyfriend married her best friend. Ouch. Bonnie found herself alone and pushing 40 when she downloaded one of this era's most popular dating apps. Enter Vance McCoy, a 40-something from San Diego who was in town for business. His job as a project manager kept him traveling on a consistent basis, and he always kept his account ready for those nights when his hotel room was cold and lonely. Vance's profile read, "Seeks local host for hospitality and tours of the lesser-known spots." The two both would swipe right, a sign of affection, and would arrange for a weekend date. Without much further ado, Vance would return home to San Diego, and Bonnie went home to her cat, Muffin. Bonnie first reached out to Vance through email in the early days of quarantine. Through their letters, we have a window into that tumultuous time in American, nay, world history.
March 9th, 2020. Dearest Vance, though but a week and several days have passed since we matched on Tinder, my thoughts go out to you in this very strange and confusing time. I rarely swipe right on guys who say they are in town for a couple days and need to be shown around, but you seem different than the cads that seem to riddle the landscape of Austin. The musicians who seem adverse to deodorant and basic hygiene, who are pushing 40 but are only looking to smash. But I digress. Our night out was lovely, and I wish we had more time to spend, but distance and timing are not on our sides. You had to return to San Diego, and I must stay here with the cads and unwashed musician men children. I know that we said our goodbyes a few days ago, and I was content with that, but with what has transpired, I would be remiss if I did not try to make contact with you and see how you were getting on. I went to the grocery store today to stock up on a few essentials before everything went by the wayside, and it was a madhouse. People were fighting over rolls of toilet paper. I was lucky to have a Costco run the week prior, so I did not partake in any of the fisticuffs. But the aisles were quickly bare, goods and people were strewn about. I had to step over a woman crying in the egg section to grab a carton of egg beaters that seemed to remain untouched. I'm not picky. Over the cries and the yelling, I could hear a familiar song playing. Just a whisper, barely enough to be heard, but it was poignant. I get knocked down, but I get up again. You're never gonna keep me down. I can't help but believe that God Himself was speaking to us all over those store loudspeakers. But would we hear it? Would we? As I was walking back to my car, wheeling my sufficiently filled cart, I watched a woman packing her truck with cases of water and loads of toilet paper. Enough for a small army, more than enough for one woman. But when would enough be enough, I ask you? A man walked by and called out, "Corona doesn't give you the shits, dumbass." To which she raised a finger in salute. But he was right, it does not. I returned home and wept. What will become of us? The news moves between it being a dire situation to it being a hoax. I grabbed a bottle of wine that I was to hold in reserve in case of emergency, but I confess, I drank heartily from the bottle. I didn't bother with a flute or even a cup. I drank like an animal. I woke up on my couch a few hours later with the bottle still clutched in my grasp. I pray that your situation is not too bad. I'm aware that you are in San Diego and there are many more people following you, but I hope the supply chains remain intact. I beg of you not to take any unnecessary risks with your health. Perhaps this is just an overreaction. Perhaps all of this is just a bad dream. But I feel a change is coming. And it won't be pleasant. Hit me back. Sincerely, Bonnie Campbell.
Vance returned a letter a few days later, providing a little solace in the isolation.
March of 2020. Bonnie, I cannot tell you how relieved I am at the sight of your words upon my screen. It provides no small amount of comfort to know that you are safe and well there in that weird town. I've often wondered in my travels to Austin and its surrounds, how on earth can a place like that exist in a state like Texas? But at the same time, Texas is Texas. And there is something for everyone there. Tinder serves its purposes. On my return flight, I considered deleting the application from my phone, since my purpose in using the dreadful app was to meet someone with whom I could have an entertaining conversation, and I certainly found that in you. I can't imagine the travails a woman faces in the smash and dash era that has descended upon us. Remind me in a year to tell you about my theories regarding the biological influences that affect dating, sating, and mating. I read your tale of the parking lot Donnybrook with equal parts mirth and misery. What compels people to act such as they are in this time of crisis? How is it possible for so many people in so many places to hear one weaselly little man on television suggest that they stock up on essentials? It just boggles the mind. I wonder, what can you do to be safe? Should you need to protect your purchases next time? Have you a weapon? Perhaps one of those pepper spray keychains? I'd hate to think of you lying in a grocery store aisle or parking lot, having been hurt over a 2-pack of Angel Soft or rice. As for me, I have been extremely fortunate so far. My neighbor's son drives for DoorDash, so on the rare occasion that I wasn't taking a meal in a restaurant, I'd have him pick up something for me. As far as I can tell, he is still very active in this particular trade. I imagine he and I will become much better acquainted through the next couple of weeks. You know, I travel so much, I never had much cause to stock my apartment with more than quality liquor, a mixer or two, and coffee beans. And the hygiene essentials, of course. I order most of what I need from Amazon with automatic renewal. The coffee comes from a Bean of the Month subscription. What was an insulting bonus at Christmas has become a welcome assurance that I will never run out of coffee. The only real challenge I face is the liquor. I'm not sure how I will restock my liquor cabinet once I run out of scotch, but if that's the one thing I must brave a shopping trip for, so be it. I will not live without my scotch. I suppose I should close this letter and get to bed. I'll be working in the office for the foreseeable future, so I have to actually work the standard schedule. It's concerning, though, all the health advisories on TV warn against seniors being out in public and how they are so very much at risk. We have at least 30, perhaps as many as 40 employees over the age of 50. 10 of those are over the age of 65, and one gentleman I know celebrated his 85th birthday just last year. Since we are essential, we are allowed to work. And since we are allowed to work, work we must. They must. I fear for those old souls. They have no business being in public, much less forced to work a normal 40-hour week. Darling Bonnie, if there's anything you need that I might be able to provide, please don't hesitate to ask. As far as I can tell, from the 5 days' worth of advertisements waiting in my mailbox, the post is still running. Stay safe, be well. Let us both hope that this is nothing more than a dream. That when we awake, we can pick up where we left off. Yours in quarantine, Vance McCoy.
Will this correspondence continue? What will Bonnie's response be? What happened during their date? Did they do the proverbial it? Find out more in the coming weeks of Dispatches of Disassociation.